Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Alice Mant, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm the Director of Religious Exploration. We welcome you. We know you come here for different reasons, to find community, to seek your spiritual and personal truths, to question, to nurture your heart and soul, to be nurtured, to explore new ideas, to find comfort, and perhaps to find answers to some of your bigger questions. We welcome you. We know you come from different places, different religions, different beliefs, and different backgrounds. We hope you will find comfort, connection, challenge, and love here. We hope you will find ways to provide outreach to others in our congregation, in our local community, and in our world community. We have a few announcements. For the third quarter of 2022, Prairie will share its offertory collection with Wilma's Fund, which provides assessments and assistance to LGBTQ+ people who are experiencing homelessness, as well as support to prevent homelessness in this population. Would you like to have input in the future direction of Prairie UU Society? Under the board's direction, Reverend Matt will be holding discussions on Prairie's mission. Please see Prairie's calendar for meeting dates. RSVP to Reverend Matt if you're interested. The Temporary Bylaws Committee has finished their draft proposal for bylaws changes, and the board is reviewing their recommendations. The next step will be to bring the draft to the congregation for comment and additional tweaking if needed. There are two meetings scheduled for this: Sunday, the 9th of October after service, in person, in this room, or Wednesday, the 12th of October at 7 p.m. on Zoom. We have more announcements in the order of service. And Reverend Matt has a special announcement.
Good morning, everyone. I am here on behalf of the COVID task force, who sent out a special announcement earlier this week. And as I look around and I see most people are wearing masks, one of three things comes to mind. A, you missed the note, which is very common. B, the note was unclear, or C, you've decided to wear a mask just because it's a good thing to do in community when you're gathered together. So any and all of those are absolutely good choices, but what I want to make clear is there's a long list of the whys the committee came together and made the decision they did, but I want to be clear that at this moment in time, subject to change, at this moment in time, we are following what Dane County and the CDC and most general places in our area are recommending, which is recommending masks but not mandating them. So in this space, we have a very good air filtration system, which John Wunderland tells me is as good or better than being outside. And if you choose to be in the space unmasked, you are welcome to do so. The one caveat, the big spreader of germs we have learned through this pandemic, is singing. So if you do choose to sing, we do ask that you put a mask back on. So you have to have a mask with you anyway, right? So that's it. So let me or John or Dan Proud know if you have any questions about the policy. Again, there was a special Prairie News, and then there news announcement, and then it was also in the weekly news. But let me know if you have any questions. And overmasking is not a bad thing to do in community. It's a good way to take care of both yourself and your neighbors. Thank you.
The chalice lighting today is "All Animals Are Our Relatives" by Florence Kaplow. And I'll invite Katrina and Anthony to come up and read.
Okay. Good morning. My name's Katrina Thompson. My pronouns are they, them. This is my spouse, Tony Lubert. Pronouns he, him. We light this chalice in honor of the animal realm. Furred and hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, many-legged, fanged and clawed, gentle and fierce, wild and tame. May we remember that all animals are our relatives, worthy of our care and respect.
And our opening music is a sing-along that will be led by Rachel Long. And I'd like to invite all the children to come up to participate in the sing-along, and we'll have you stay up here through the animal blessing.
Hey, good. And we'll have some adults participate too, but I think the kids are gonna be kind of our leaders here. So I'll wait for y'all to show up. I am so glad to see so many of you here today. And there is a really good reason so many of you are here, and that's because we're talking about animals today, and especially the animals that are particularly close to us or that we really appreciate and enjoy. So the song we're going to be doing today is probably one you've heard before, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. So I'll get to that in a minute. But let me just ask you, do you folks know any common... Oh, crane. Yes, definitely saw cranes on the corner. And a lot of us have seen those cranes week after week. Who, as an owl? So I want to comment on some of the sounds I've heard. So some of you are trying really hard to make sounds that sound very much like the animal sounds, as best you can. And other people are saying words that we're used to associating with animals. How many people have ever heard a dog say, bow wow? Have any of you ever heard that? Have any of you ever heard a chicken say, cheep, cheep?
No.
No. Why is that? Because those are people's ideas of what animals sound like. They're words we make up to sort of seem like animals, but actually we don't. And owls can sound a little bit like hoo, but they don't just say hoo. Hey, hoo. No. So our animal sounds aren't quite animal sounds. So there's a song called Old MacDonald that you've probably heard before. So one thing I can say about the song Old MacDonald is it has a lot of animal sounds that aren't really animal sounds. For example, what does a pig say? But does a pig, there you go. Karen's gonna do it for you. I've never actually heard. Yeah, so pigs definitely don't say oink. So here's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna take turns deciding which animal to sing about, and then whoever comes up with that animal is going to make the sound they want us to say. Like not bow wow for a dog, but something that sounds a little more like something a dog would say. All right, so we're going to sing this the beginning song together, and then who would like to do the first animal? Okay, so I got your first, your second, your third, and your fourth, your fifth. Okay, I'll see you in order. You guys help me. All right. So I want you to sing with me, and you guys are welcome. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on this farm he had a what? A dog. E-I-E-I-O. And what sound does the dog make?
Woof.
Woof. Okay. With a woof, woof here and a woof, woof here, a woof there, woof everywhere, a woof, woof. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a cat, E-I-E-I-O, with a
meow, meow
here and a meow, meow there, here a meow, here a meow, everywhere a meow, meow. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a
bunny,
E-I-E-I-O, with a
boing, boing
here and a boing, boing there, here a boing, there a boing, everywhere a boing, boing. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a
an owl.
An owl. E-I-E-I-O. With a
hoot, hoot.
Hoot, hoot here and a hoot, hoot there. Here a hoot, there a hoot, everywhere a hoot, hoot. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a E-I-E-I-O, and a
buck, buck,
buck, buck here, and a buck, buck there, here a buck, there a buck, everywhere a buck, buck. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Anybody else have one they'd like to do? You have one? Oh, and on this farm he had a hi, hi here and a hi, hi there. Here a hi, there a hi, everywhere a hi, hi. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Anyone else who, did you want to do one more? We better get to the firsts first.
She wants a polar bear. I don't know what noise
that's. Oh. Will you say it? And on this farm he had a
polar bear.
Polar bear.
Polar bear. E-I-E-I-O with a
what do they say? What does a polar bear say? It says a woof woof. Ah.
With a woof woof here and a woof woof there. Here a woof, there a woof, everywhere a woof woof. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And I think you didn't get a chance yet. Did you want to say one? What would you like to say? And on this farm they had a
octopus.
E-I-E-I-O. And what did the octopus say?
What did octopus say?
Splash.
With a splash splash here and a splash splash there. Here a splash, there a splash, everywhere a splash splash. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Anyone who hasn't had a chance, who wants to say one? Did you want to? You don't have to. Anyone else from the audience have a burning desire to get one more animal in? Okay, we have one person who's dying to have a second helping. What would you like? God. On this farm there was a God, E-I-E-I-O. And what did God say? Oh, I can't hear you, dear.
I don't know.
He said, here? He said, here.
Here.
Here. Did I get it right? Okay. With a here, 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 and here, 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 everywhere, here, here. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Thank you, guys.
All right, so the name of the story today is The Great Kapok Tree by Lynn Cherry. Two men walked into the rainforest. Moments before, the forest had been alive with sounds of squawking birds and howling monkeys. Now all was quiet as the creatures watched two men and wondered why they had come. The larger man stopped and pointed to the great kapok tree. Then he left. The smaller man took the axe he carried and struck the trunk of the tree. Whack, whack, whack. The sounds of the blows rang through the forest. The wood of the tree was very hard. Chop, chop, chop. The man wiped off the sweat that ran down his face and neck. Whack, chop, whack, chop. Soon, the man grew tired. He sat down to rest at the foot of the great kapok tree. Before he knew it, the heat and the hum of the forest had lulled him to sleep. A boa constrictor lived in the kapok tree. He slithered down its trunk to where the man was sleeping. He looked at the gash the axe had made in the tree. Then the huge snake slid very close to the man and hissed in his ear. Señor, this is a tree. This tree is a tree of miracles. It is my home, where generations of my ancestors have lived. Do not chop it down. A bee buzzed in the sleeping man's ear. Señor, my hive is in this kapok tree. And I fly from tree to tree and flower to flower, collecting pollen. In this way, I pollinate the trees and flowers throughout the rainforest. You see, all living things depend on one another. A troop of monkeys scampered down from the canopy to the kapok tree. They chattered to the sleeping man. Señor, we have seen the ways of man. You chop down one tree, then come back for another and another. The roots of these great trees will wither and die, and there will be nothing left to hold earth in place. When the heavy rain comes, the soil will be washed away, and the forest will become a desert. A toucan, a macaw, and a cock of the rock flew down from the canopy. Señor, squawked the toucan, you must not cut down this tree. We have flown over the rainforest and seen what happens once you begin to chop down trees. Many people settle on the land. They set fires to clear the underbrush, and soon the forest disappears. Where once there was life and beauty, only black and smoldering ruins remain. A bright and small tree frog crawled along the edge of a leaf. In a squeaky voice, he pumped in the man's ear. Señor, a ruined rainforest means ruined lives, many ruined lives. You will leave many of us homeless if you chop down this great kapok tree. A jaguar had been sleeping along a branch in the middle of the tree. Because his spotted coat blended into the dappled light and shadows of the understory, no one had noticed him. Now he leapt down and padded silently over to the sleeping man. He growled in his ear. Señor, the kapok tree is home to many birds and animals. If you cut it down, where will I find my dinner? Four tree porcupines swung down from branch to branch and whispered to the man, Señor, do you know what we animals and humans need in order to live? Oxygen. And Señor, do you know what trees produce? Oxygen. If you cut down the forests, you will destroy that which gives us all life. Several anteaters climbed down the kapok tree and their young clinging to their backs. The unstriped anteater said to the sleeping man, Señor, you are chopping down this tree with no thought for the future, and surely you know what happens tomorrow depends on what you do today. The big man tells you to chop down a beautiful tree. He does not think of his own children, who tomorrow must live in a world without trees. A three-toed sloth had begun climbing down from the canopy when the men first appeared. Only now did she reach the ground. Plodding ever so slowly over the sleeping man, she spoke in her deep, lazy voice. Señor, how much is beauty worth? Can you live without it? If you destroy the beauty of the rainforest, on what would you feast your eyes? A child from the Yanomamo tribe who lived in the rainforest knelt over the sleeping man. He murmured in his ear, Señor, when you awake, please look upon us all with new eyes. The man awoke with a start. Before him stood the rainforest child, and all around him were the creatures who depended upon the great kapok tree. What wonderful, wondrous, and rare animals they were. The man looked about and saw the sun streaming through the canopy. Spots of bright light glowed like jewels amidst the dark green forest. Strange and beautiful plants seemed to dangle in the air, suspended from the great kapok tree. The man smelled the fragrant perfume of their flowers. He felt the steaming mist rising from the forest floor, but he heard no sound, for the creatures were strangely silent. The man stood up and picked up his axe. He swung back his arm as though to strike the tree. Suddenly, he stopped. He turned and looked at the animals and the child. He hesitated, then he dropped the axe and walked out of the rainforest. The end. And I'll invite you all to stay up here for the animal blessing. So at many Unitarian Universalist congregations like ours, people sometimes come together to bless animals. The tradition comes from our Catholic friends. A blessing shows how we appreciate the animals in our lives. These might be pets in our families. It can also be animals we think are beautiful to look at, or nice to pet on a farm, or animals that give us wool for clothes, pull plows on farms, and even give us their bodies for food. So I'm going to ask each of you, some of you brought stuff guys today, and even if you didn't bring a stuff guy, I'm going to ask you to share one thing that is special, valuable, or wonderful about an animal that you have in your life. So let me get the microphone. Yep. All right. So, Abby, do you want to share something you like about an animal? So, what animal do you like?
Kitties.
Kitties? I love my kitties that I have at home. And they are different in very many ways. And because of that...
Let me just repeat what you said, Abby. So Abby said she likes her kittens at home because they're different in many different ways.
And I love them so much because of that, that I often play with them. Well, one of my kids is named Dragon, and
Dragon.
And Dragon really loves to play with me. He's my favorite kitty, and I spend most of my time with the kids when it isn't a game day for me.
Okay. All right. Who would like to go next? Amelia? So what's the name of your... Is this representing a cat that you have at home? What's the name of the cat?
Valentina.
And what's a special thing about Valentina?
She chases all the mice away, and when I'm sad, she comes to me and she stays until I'm happy again.
So Valentina chases all the mice away and comes to Amelia when she's sad and doesn't leave until Amelia's happy again. You want to go next? What kind of animal did you bring?
I have a dog.
You have a dog at home?
One is Apple and one is Elsie, and I live at.
And it looks like you brought an owl.
I don't have an owl at home.
You don't have an owl at home, but he brought an owl.
Also our pet bird died.
Wait, what? You used to have a bird at home and it died? All right. What did you bring today?
A bunny, but I actually have two dogs at home. My puppy is a beagle, and he's only 9 months old, and his name is Scrambles.
Scrambles, the 9-month-old beagle?
Yeah. And I have a 9-year-old dog that is a pointer. And he always listens to my dad.
Okay. Anyone else want to share about the ant? Kira, what did you bring today?
A cat.
A cat? Is there a name for it?
Billy.
Billy the cat. And what's a special thing about Billy?
Because I used to have a dog named Billy, and it just has an I in it.
So she used to have a dog named Billy, too?
Like Bailey.
Bailey. Do you want to share anything?
I have two cats, Cornflake and Billy. I have no clue what type of cat they are, but they're very helpful when I come home. And so I come home from middle school, and I'm just alone, and then the cats come by me on the couch, and they let me pet them.
So Miles said that his cats greet him when he comes home from school and let him pet them. You want to go next, Cam? What did you bring with you?
An octopus. I don't really have an octopus at home, but I just bought this because it's an octopus.
That's awesome. What do you like about octopi?
It is very awesome, but I named this guy Octopus because he's an octopus.
Okay, awesome.
All right, who did you bring?
Doggy.
Okay, what do you like about doggy?
My favorite dogs are chihuahuas. They're so cute.
So she brought a stuffed animal named Doggy, who is a dog. Her favorite dog are chihuahuas. A friend of mine has a chihuahua, and every time my friend visits, the chihuahua is number one. And also this child brought home a picture of top three favorite people, and it was dad, dog, and dog. Mom was nowhere to be found. And we do not have a real dog at home, so dog took two of the three top places. Audrey, what did you bring?
I want a polar bear.
And Audrey has a polar bear, Stuffy, whose name is also Polar Bear. What do you like about Polar Bear?
Playing tricks.
You like playing with Polar Bear? Also, Polar Bear is wearing a diaper because that apparently is a thing now that the stuffed animals get diapered on a regular basis at our household. So,
would you like to go, Trevor? So what did you bring today, Trevor? Fiona, you said? Oh, here you go.
What did you say?
Trevor, it looks like Trevor brought a dog, but I don't think he has a name for it.
This is representing Annabelle, which is cute, adorable, nice, respectful, very cute.
So Trevor said this is representing a dog at home named Annabelle, who's very cute, nice, and adorable. All right, so thanks for everyone for sharing. I'm going to say a blessing for all the animals you brought. May you live a long, happy, and blessed life. May there be food in your belly, a warm place to sleep, and joy in your days.
Know that there are animals in many families, so we've also invited folks that aren't children to share their animal pets and family members. So we're going to take a look at that quick video, and then we're going to collectively offer a blessing for all of our beloved animals.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Summer. I'm 9 years old and I live with John and Nancy Wong. Jesse. Writing Chiron? Chiron. This black cat named Cuddlebug. This black cat is named Cricket. Proper naming is amazing. Oop, Cricket again, being modeled by Andy this time. We live with the Andres. This is Cornflake, and I'm Billy. I live with Daily Thompson and their family, including Lulu. It's GJ. Hi. Hi there. Oh, here's me giving Judy's daughter, Abigail, a ride. I'm Paula and Carl's cat, Tashi. I used to be shy, but not anymore. They've helped me to feel safe. Hi there, I'm Ruby. I got lost in New Mexico once. Uh-oh. Paula and Toby were sure relieved when I finally made it home. This is a photo of one of Orange and Dean Schrader's two cats, Poppy. Sorry, I can't see. Their other kitty is named Pepper. Sorry. My two fur babies, Susan Kahn, I guess. My black and white is Odo, and my gray tabby is Mimi. Trevor, Amelia, our cat, Valentina. This is the Scott family. Oh, there's a bunch. Grandma's, I can't really read some of this. Oh, it went too fast. Okay. Reverend Matt and Reverend Denise's loud little dog, Teddy. Oh, look at that. Reverend Matt's other dog, Henry, aka Henry Pickles. We hope you enjoyed getting to know us just as much as we enjoy being with our families.
So we are going to offer a collective blessing for all of those pets and that are just connected to this community that maybe haven't come up today. Now, a blessing can be just a little more than a wish for good outcomes. And as a minister, I might offer a blessing myself, but I think it would be a much more powerful blessing if everyone gathered here today helped me. So I'm going to offer some wishes for our animal friends, and at the end of each wish, I'm going to invite you to amplify my blessing by repeating the words that you'll see here on the screen. There you go. So for those pets that act as our companions, day after day, night after night, asking little in return, may you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. For those pets that bark to alert us when danger may be lurking outside, may you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. For those pets that snuggle into us and keep us warm on cool fall days, may you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. For those pets that carry us around and pull our sleds in the winter, may you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. For those pets that swim around and hypnotize us with their beauty, may you be safe, may you be warmed, may you be loved. For those pets that do the very important work of eating bugs, may you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. And finally, for all those pets that remind us that in addition to a bit of food and a warm place to sleep, love is really all that you need. May you be safe, may you be warm, and may you be loved. All right. Thank you for helping me all with that. I really think a blessing is much more powerful if a whole community gets behind it. So I love these intergenerational services. It's really good to have everybody in the community, our pets and our kids and everybody all together. But I also know that it's very important for me to keep my remarks short when we have kids who are already starting to get a little squiggly. I get that. Thank goodness we have things to hold on to. So when Renee and the program committee talked to me about the idea of a pet blessing service, I was pretty excited. I've seen these done at many other UU churches, and they can be a lot of fun. But I also know that there are many concerns. I began asking a lot of questions. There's a lot of happiness going on right now. Maybe the kids should go back to their seats. What do you think? Let's go back to our seats. Yay! Thanks, kids. All right. Good luck, parents. All right. So we had this idea, we thought it could be fun, but I knew there were also many concerns, so I started asking a lot of questions. And you may have noticed a couple of communications that we made the decision today regarding whether or not to invite our animal companions to join us, and we decided not to. So the question is, how do we make decisions like that in an intentional community like this? And ultimately, this is exactly what we come here together to practice. How to get along with others. Our animal companions, as we saw, are really part of many of our families. They are our companions. They teach us lessons. They help to keep us safe and secure and feeling good. They're there for us when we're happy and sad. They really are a part of our families. And they do have meaning in so many of our lives. And for some of us, they are our primary families. Now, this week, a fairly easy solution eventually emerged. I didn't see it initially, but we came up with an alternative. At some point in the future, we're going to invite the kids to bring their actual pets, and they'll head straight downstairs, and we won't have to worry about carpets and piddles and pet dander and barking and cats and dogs and all those different kind of things. And we have some ideas of how we can have the kids get to show off, and if people do want to go down and be with the pets, then they can go down after the service. And so we came up with a solution, right? But what happens in those times when life just doesn't give us an option? What about our friends in Florida that had to rush away and take all the things that were important to them, their family and their beloved pets and everything else, because there was a flood coming? Or our friends in Ukraine who had to run away quickly, oftentimes at night during a war. Or kids, what if you just want to bring your pet along with you on vacation, but the place that you're going to stay doesn't allow pets to stay there? We have to make difficult decisions all the time. So I got to thinking back of that old story of Noah from the Bible. There was this big storm coming. You may have heard this story before. And he was tasked with choosing only two of each animal in all the world, only two animals to go on his boat. Now, these old tales, I think, are just that. They're stories that have been passed down through the generations to remind us some of the challenges in life that we have to be prepared to face. So how did Noah decide which animals to take and which ones to leave behind? What if he had 100 chickens? What if each of his brothers and sisters all had their own beloved cats and dogs? How would you decide if you had to do that? What if there was a flood forecast in Madison? How would we collectively decide who got to come with us to higher ground and which ones had to be left behind to try to weather the storm on their own? How do we decide what to do when different folks in our community have different ideas about the best way forward? The main thing we rely on in a community like this is our principles, our mission, our vision, and our bond of union. These documents are all designed to act as a compass. When we are faced with a decision where two or more paths may be an equally good path forward, We can sometimes turn to these documents for guidance to help us with a break the tie. The other thing we do sometimes is practice sitting with discomfort and staying in relationship while we work out the best way forward. In this case, like I said, I heard concerns about cats and dogs not coming along and allergies and pet dander and accidents and all those different kind of things. And I sat with that and I was like, well, if we don't have the pets, then some people will be sad. And if we do have the pets, other people will be sad. So what do we do? So it was the idea of the carpets that really gave me the idea of, well, if we brought them downstairs and they were separate, then we could have that. So that worked out. So as I sat with trying to make sure everyone's needs were met, I thought about the fact that today is a day of blessing. And a blessing is an invisible thing that can travel across time and space. So I thought it would be okay if we just had stuffies and pictures and memories of our pets here with us in the room. And if our energy is strong, it seems possible that our blessings will reach all the pets waiting for us at home and somewhere beyond. So in this case, we found a solution, or a couple of solutions, that I think will meet everybody's needs. But what about all those problems in human relations that are maybe a little bit harder to solve? This is why we keep coming here. This is the work. May we keep practicing together. May we continue to get better and better at this important work. And may the lessons we learn here be transmitted throughout our community and to the broader world. And in this way, may we come here to be the change that we want to see. The next thing we are going to do is, again, we're trying to make this service as short as possible for attention spans. We are going to combine our offertory and our silent meditation and a little bit of memorial for the pets that have gone before. So we are sharing our offering this quarter with Wilma's Fund, which provides assessments and assistance to the LGBTQ+ people who are experiencing homelessness, as well as to support and prevent homelessness in this population. The offertory song is The Swan by Saint-Saëns, performed by Amber. And while Amber plays and the helpers collect this offering, we will remember a few pets that have been lost over the years. I will be lighting candles of remembrance. And if you have a pet that is not shown here that you'd like to remember, feel free to come on up and light a candle of remembrance. Thank you.
Our closing words are by Frances Hodgson Burnett, and Margaret will read them for us.
How it is that animals understand things, I do not know, but it is certain that they do. Perhaps there is a language which is not made of words, and everything in the world understands it. Perhaps there is a soul hidden in everything, and it can always speak without even making a sound to another soul.
Our closing music is hymn 414. As we leave this friendly place, we'll sing it twice through, and we'll be accompanied by Amber. At this time, we are stopping the recording.